And kind of get going. We're going to have Trita come up and do our prayers, and then we're going to get back into some music.
Mike's been trying to figure out for 45 years how to mute me. Maybe you could share it. Okay, well, thank you guys. Welcome to Sauk River Cowboy Church. This is our first time in the new facility. And I know Jeff and others have got lots to say about that. I'm going to get right to this. We have just a couple of prayer requests tonight. Obviously, in a church this size, there are a lot of needs, and we know it. And there are people we've been praying for years. There are situations we've been praying for. Tonight, we're just gonna mention these two, but let's just go ahead and start talking to God. Heavenly Father, I love you from the bottom of my heart. Father, we are so in awe of you. We are so grateful, Father, for the way that you have put together a local body of believers, and we're so blessed to be part of the Capital C Church, Father, the worldwide church. Father, tonight we would ask your blessing on this service, on the members of this congregation, Father. What a blessing it is to be a part of it. Father, I do want to lift up Kenny Robertson, who's in ICU at Mercy, and I'd like to lift up Ashley King, who has a bladder infection. Again, Father, there are so many people who have got terrible illnesses. There's a lot of need out there, God, but you're a big God, and we thank you, God, for all that you do. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to give the patient, I'm just going to kind of be introduced.
Tuesday, you're going to be doing your little
now? Whenever you want to start. All right, we're going to get this thing rolling. We're going to take off here a little bit. We're going to kind of rock it up here a little bit, a little country. This is a song you guys all know. You're going to think, oh, it's something new. No, it's not. It's one of them old, old songs. You guys have heard it a million times. Chad, play it for me. I heard an old story of a Savior King from glory. How he gave his life to Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his precious blood on the throne. all. How about this band up here with me?
Howdy, Don.
Maybe turn it on.
I think he's muted again. Come on over here. Come on over here.
Is that going around tonight?
Check one, two.
I'm moving. I'm back.
Okay, now we're going.
Nothing's changed around here, has it?
We got all this brand new equipment, new toys. We're just trying to figure all this out right now.
Okay, we'll go again. Howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
That's better. Hey, have we got any visitors? No, we should have some visitors. Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hands. Hup, hup.
We got
hup, hup. All right, well, welcome to the bar. Hope you enjoy it. How about birthdays? Got birthdays? Hup. Hup, hup. Hup, hup, hup.
Yep.
All right. How about anniversaries? Come on, hup. Hup. Any more? Hup, back there in the back.
I don't know.
Hup, hup.
I'll look for him.
All right, sing to him.
Did you have birthday anniversary? I was talking to my wife up there.
Yes.
You know, okay, we're going to do them both. 98 years old. Okay, how about a special birthday right there? Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you.
Forget September the 7th, we're having our annual baptism out at the Charles Turks Farm there. It is at 12:30. We will be baptizing. If you want to be baptized, there's a sign-up sheet in the other room. Sign up, come down there and get baptized. Our new hours will be at the stockyards or 8:30 to 10. And then here at the barn, we'll start at 11:30. New serving hours on Thursday night is from 4:30 to 5:30. I'm not supposed to bring any food into the barn. Well, I don't know, but anyway. And if you have a drink, have it covered, put a lid on it. Well,
at 11.
When I said in the bunkhouse cassette, who told me? 11?
Okay, 11.
11.
No, okay, at 11 o'clock, not 11:30. It says in the bunkhouse. Not 11:30, but 11. Whatever, it's 11. Either show up if you're late, it'll be all right. You can still get saved.
That's right.
That's right. Let me see, I think I got it. I'll tell you, this is quite a place. Years ago, about 18 years ago when we first started this, Denny Gold and I used to get up and try to tell each other stories, and he always had a bigger whopper than I did.
Yeah.
I sure do miss him.
I miss him too.
But anyway, I'll tell you one. I got a new son-in-law back then. That was a little before then, and he wanted to get in the chicken business. So he went up to Bolivar, to the sale barn, and bought a bunch of chickens. And I think he only gave like 50 cents or a dollar. He got, I don't know, 50 of them or something like that. Got them home. My daughter, which was raised around chickens, said, man, that ain't good. You know, they ain't good. So he had a neighbor that had some show chickens. So he had the neighbor come down and look at them. And the neighbor says, you know, those are the ugliest chickens I ever saw. He says, I'll give you a dollar a piece if you'll just kill them. Well, I think he ended up did kill them, but he also got lice off these chickens. And he was laying on the floor with my wife, or his wife, and the daughter, Jamie, had her his head on her lap. She says, well, you got a bunch of lice. And he jumped up and started screaming, and he says, well, pour gas on them, get rid of them. She said, well, you don't have to go that far, but we'll get rid of them. They got rid of them. But anyway, that was his experience with chickens. He has learned since that you just don't buy them from a barn for sale, you know, because they're usually in the sale barn for a reason, and it ain't a good one. So anyway, I think that's pretty much got it. Judy, get up here. Judy.
I feel privileged to be in this building. My gosh, this is amazing. I want to talk to you all about the fundraiser for Ron and Lori Jones's daughter, Lacey. She had a double mastectomy last week. She did go to the doctor this week. She is going to have chemo, and it was in some of her lymph nodes. The fundraiser is September the 6th. It will be here in the other room. If you would like to donate items, new or gently used, that would be amazing. If you would like to make a donation, you can give it to Lori or I or Ron. And if you're writing a check, please make it out to Lacey Beatty. We're going to have a pie auction, and I know that some of you are absolutely amazing at pies. Jackie Gilkey, for one, that it brought $1,600 at Shay's auction.
My.
Doug wanted it. It was a blackberry cobbler, and he didn't get it, so she made him one afterwards. Jim Klug, he makes the most amazing New York cheesecake. But I want to talk about a fire pit that was donated to us Sunday. If you have not seen the picture of this fire pit, it took four people to get it out of the back of my truck. It was almost as big as the bed of my truck. The skewers are even there for the marshmallows and the hot dogs. This is the most beautiful, biggest fire pit I've ever seen in my life. And he wants to remain anonymous, but he has no idea how much we appreciate this. All of you that are donating, whether you're donating time or money or items, you are so much appreciated. Lacey needs all the help that she can get. And we have neighbors helping neighbors, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Thank you all so very much for blessing this family.
Thank you, Judy. I think that's pretty much it for this evening. Larry, did you want to do that now or not later? But, huh?
Do it in
a minute. Not yet. Okay, never mind. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Oh, like, Lord God, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful building that we're coming to and have the privilege to worship your name in. Be with those who are sick. Rhonda Epperson, particularly, she's in the hospital, not doing very well. She's got medical problems. And there's many, many more that are. We ask you to just reach down, touch them, heal them, comfort them, be with them, guide them. And Lord, just open our hearts and receive your word from Ty and Scotty. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for my parents that made me go to church and hear the good word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Don. We appreciate all you do. You know, Don kind of alluded to it a while ago. Judy did too. Look at this building, guys. Isn't this beautiful building? This is where the Lord's going to do his work. It's right here. I mean, that's something to be excited about, that we're going to do what the Lord wants right here. We are going to do our very best at. We've got two pastors that we all believe in. I want to say a huge thank you to our general contractor over there. I heard Denny Gold talk about him several years ago. Mark Zimmerman talk about him. He's ducking down. and I actually know a couple other pastors that have used him to build their church. And Mike, I haven't heard any of them say, in fact, every one of them said it was just a pleasure to deal with. And looking at this building, I'm going, wow, you know, those guys really weren't kidding. Mike, you've done a good job. You and your crew, you guys, my hat's off to you. I now see why all these people, and me and him have kind of became friends along the way. So I hate to brag on him too much because he didn't pay me or anything yet. I haven't got the paycheck yet. But anyway, no, Mike, I'm kidding. We're going to do another song. We're going to slow it down. This is probably the song we get requested more than any other song. And guys, it's been a while since we did it, so we're gonna give it a whirl. Chris Christopherson done it several years ago, and there's a story behind it that I'll tell you real quickly. If you haven't heard it, Chris was in an interview one time, and they were talking to him about it. And he'd been down in Texas one Saturday night playing music. And anyway, he got invited to church the next day. He was in a hotel. Chris said, yeah. He goes, I'll come. So he went to church that next morning, got up there, and he said, really hadn't had a lot of experience in church. He, you know, kind of believed in God, but he just really hadn't went and planted in a seat in a church. The preacher started preaching. When he got down to asking if anybody wanted to come up front, he said, all of a sudden, I felt this something on my shoulder. And he said, next thing I know, I'm up and I'm walking up there. He said, I start sobbing. He said, I'm very emotional. He said, the experience just blew him away. He said, that was something, he said, that I was supposed to have done for a long time. And he goes, I finally got in with the Lord, which is great. He got home or got to his hotel room that night. When he got to the hotel room, he wrote this song, a song called Why Me, Lord. So we're going to try it.
G?
Thank you.
It's for the Lord, people. I'm going to get out of the way from this mic because I know you are tired of hearing me from me by now. We're going to get this young lady standing beside me, Holly, we're going to get her to sing a song. And those of you don't know her, her husband's on the other side of her.
Yeah.
We're kind of trying to bring him along on that guitar. I don't know if he's ever going to get there or not, but he's working on it.
All right. You guys know I Saw the Light? All right. Turn to page 29 if you have your hymnals. Let's do I Saw the Light. In D.
Folks, it happens sometimes.
Man, I didn't know I did that.
He was his own little band right there.
Yep. Let's try that again. All right. I Saw the Light. Let's
One,
go.
Two, three, four.
I wondered so way less like it was sin. How would he live, my dear Savior, in? Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Let's hear you, Bob. The blind man, I wandered along. Worries and tears I claimed for my own. Then like a blind man that got me back aside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
What key?
Key A. And David, you get to start that little. Sing along with me. Jesus loves me.
Said that's our lead guitar player's wife. We're now going to bring our steel guitar player's wife up here, and we're going to let her show off what she can do. You all heard Shirley before, I know. So we're going to have Shirley do one.
Thank you. behind me. Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. Would it likely not to prosper? Was left hanging o'er my head. Oh, he'll never count for nothing. That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. I never stayed around too long. Lord, you're the treasure I've been looking for, and I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me touched my heart, you touched my soul, and the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. The bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. I'm still holding to the best thing I ever found.
Good job, Shirley.
Beautiful job, Shirley. Beautiful job.
Yes, it was.
We're gonna let the preachers get up here, and I think it's Scotty up first. I think I heard that right. So we're gonna get to hear from Scotty. You know, me and my wife started coming here 13, 14 years ago, and we'd been going to another church down, we live down Morrisville, north of town, and we came and heard Scotty preach one Sunday, and that was it. We've been here ever since. Yeah.
Hey. All right. I wish you could have met my granddad. Herbert Killingsworth was his name. 1948, that's what he drove. I mean, you can just see him in that old pickup. He lived in an era that a car only had two things, on and off. That's all it was, two settings. No screens, no beeps, no assistance, no smart this, no smart that. Only addition he had was a coffee can for his tobacco juice under the... between his legs. Now, imagine dropping my granddad in a modern car, right? He's gonna sit down in a modern car, and he holds the key fob in his hand, and you hand it to him, and he looks at it. He looks at it like it might explode, and he presses things on it, and trunk pops open, the lights flash on and off, and his seat adjusts itself while he's sitting in it, and a screen lights up, and he says, Herbert, would you like to sync your phone? Can you imagine what he's thinking? And he presses it again, and the engine won't crank. And he says, well, something is bad wrong with this car. What he didn't realize is it's already on. You know, he's just sitting there and he bit it. And he figures it all out when he gets a hold of the gear shift. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And he grabs hold of that gear shift and he doesn't know what to do. He finally drives it, gets it to go a little bit, parks it under a tree, gets out, walks away thinking, I think I'm just going to walk. Change happens, doesn't it? And here we are tonight, not in a 1948 Ford truck anymore. We're in a brand new building, brand new beginning. Same Lord, same Lord, same Bible, same songs. What I need to tell you tonight is that out of the book of Joshua, and we're not going to spend a lot of teaching time on it, but from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, if you want to turn there and follow along, Joshua is getting the baton from Moses. Moses has led them, and now they're at a new place. And he's handing the baton, like at a track meet. He's handing it to Joshua, who's going to take the children of Israel on into the promised land. Now, if you read the book of Joshua, or actually if you read anywhere in the Bible, what you understand is God is telling a story. That's what's going on. God is just telling us a magnificent story of redemption. He wants to see it from the beginning. In beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he wants us to see how he put things here and how it evolved and how it changed. And he wants us to see that he's writing a story. When we read the Psalms, we realize and come to understand that God is telling a story that includes us. You and I are part of that story. The book of Acts ends with a beautiful phraseology, but talking about how then they went forward, they went on from there. And don't you realize we are continuing to write the book of Acts tonight as a church. But God's telling a story. Your personal story matters. What you do really, really matters. Your personal story. Now, God's writing a big story. There's a little story. Your little story is being played in the middle of God's big story. And how you play your part in that matters a great, great deal. We don't control the beginning of our story. One of the great things about being a pastor, and Ty and I are aware of this, is that everybody's got a history. But everybody's got a future with Jesus. And you can't control what you did in the past. If you give your life to Jesus, you can control. He can control what you do into the future. And you write chapter. I think I'm breaking up, aren't I?
Yeah. Okay.
So God is telling that great story. So what story about Sauk River Cowboy Church? I'm going to get another mic. What story is God telling about Cowboy Church? Because he's telling a story here. You're in it. You're a part of it. So let's see if we can figure that out. First of all, it's a story of faithful beginnings. Larry Whiteley, would you come up here with your box? Where are you, buddy? Come up here, Larry. Faithful beginnings. Open that up. Or just show it to everybody. Let everybody see this. Okay. This is a glorious, beautiful work of art created by some of our people.
Jim Clark.
By Jim Klug. Let me see just a minute, and so I can see for sure what I'm talking about. This is our it's our founders. Everybody that started Cowboy Church, their names are written down here. Max and Andrea Kimbrew, Billy and Rhonda Epperson, Donna Mary Green, Scott and Corey Jett, Denny and Sandy Gold, Scotty and Gail Killingsworth, Charles Turk, and while Larry's down here, what? I think that because of the time tonight, let's just read their names and acknowledge them. If you're here in the room, and I just read your name, stand up, please. We will not. We will acknowledge you. And Sandy, yes, stand up. Our founders. They had the vision for this and saw this coming And we have this now in wood, a permanent record of their beauty. Who are you pointing at?
Right outside the door.
Right outside the door? Okay, there's some more. All right. Thank you so much. We remember their beginnings. We started here with about 12 people. Not more than that, but about 12. And now we're averaging over 1,000 a week. 6,000 or more people are watching us all around the world. From a dusty stockyards on Commercial Street. Anybody ever remember the old stockyards on Commercial Street? Whew, wasn't that a mess? That's where we started. That was our first place that we met. It was awful, but we loved it. We got started there. Then the Livestock Marketing Center, they welcomed us there, and what a wonderful host they've been for us ever since. Then this precious, beautiful event center that you had supper in tonight and the community gets to use, and now this beautiful worship barn. Now, over 500 of our people who used to attend here have traded their hats for halos. Do you understand what I just told you? Over 500 of our startup crew have already gone home. So we got a pretty big cowboy church meeting in heaven tonight. And it says we're encompassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. And I got a sense tonight that there's some shouting in heaven. We stand on the shoulders of those saints, those that have gone on. Tonight we remember them and honor them for helping us tell this story. God's also telling a story of bold leadership. Joshua, it also says there in verse 2, the time has come for you to lead these people. So Moses says to Joshua, now's the time for you to lead these people. It's time to go. And God is telling you the same thing. Sauk River Cowboy Church has been blessed with Spirit-filled leadership from the very beginning. We've tried to do nothing, but God didn't lead. And if God wasn't in it, we didn't do it. So we trust God. Our music teams, our band members, the most loving, talented, I can't brag on them enough, our fellowship and kitchen volunteers, how they work tirelessly and make our fellowship beautiful, our hosts, Larry and Don, and other volunteer hospitality leaders, our Gus team, where are you guys? You see them around, there they are. We thank God for them. Our directors are here. If you're a director of our church, stand up, will you please? If you're a director on our board, stand up for just a moment. They all stayed home. There's some. Okay. Now they're standing up. There we go. All right. Give them a hand. They do the hard work. Ty and I do ministry. Ty and I lead in ministry areas, and in ministry. The board leads in administration. And so they lead. It must be me. I'm running batteries down, I think. And now it's, I hate to ever mention people by name because I leave out 25 I should have mentioned. But now I want to say it's your turn to lead now. We have to have you step up and lead. Every one of you. It's time for you. Your voice, your prayers, your leadership matter. Also, God is telling a story here of deep generosity. One of the things he's doing here is our church has been marked by open hands and giving hearts. What a generous group of people you have been. Do you realize we don't take up an offering here? I love it when some guest will come up to me and say, well, you didn't even take up an offering. What do I do with my money? I say, put it in your pocket and go home. You know why I say that? Because I believe that when a man or a woman's heart is right with God, their giving will be right with God too. So we don't have to preach on giving. If I were to start, If I was to start talking about giving, well, let me just take a minute and talk about giving. We're operating on a budget now, about $1 million a year. That's what it takes to run this now, is about $1 million a year. And it's stewarded well. Those board members that you saw stand up, they squeeze every penny. I mean, it's hard for us to get a penny out of them. Because they watch it, they guard it, they shop it. So you can trust your board. They are phenomenal people, and they're doing a super, super job. And but we're operating on that budget. I challenge you to be generous in giving. I'm not going to bust into the future. Oh, you know what I just noticed? Thank God there's no clock in here. Woo! Thank you, Lord. So, but they are such great leaders, and I appreciate every one of them. So I need you to be generous with your giving. We don't take lightly what you give. We, as I said, we squeeze it, you know, we watch it, we manage it, we give it. We want your money to be spent for the cause that God would be for, that Jesus would support. Now, let me talk about the story of God's provision. Just look around at what God has done. We have a growing and united ministry. A growing and united ministry. This church doesn't fight. We don't fight each other. We love each other. Now, you know, we're people. We disagree about stuff once in a while. But this is the sweetest, most loving group of people I've ever known. Unified. And not only here, but at the Livestock Marketing Center. Same way. We have a huge crowd that meets over there on Sunday mornings in two services. Some of you may be here tonight, and I hope you are. But that group over there is excited and growing. They fill that place up, and it's just a joy. But it's unified. We have a beautiful 20-acre campus here. We're a multi-campus church, but we have 20 acres here. The stables, you saw the stables over here. Kids and youth ministry, that's the hub for that. Our event center where you had supper tonight. We also have community and gatherings there. And then this precious worship barn, which I can't hardly wait to use it. This sacred space built for praise and worship. That's what we... That in there is built primarily for fellowship. This is built for praise and worship. And that's our two missions. Love God with all your heart and your neighbors yourself. It fits perfectly. Now, folks, this didn't all come from clever plans and smart people. It came from a faithful God who is leading this church, and he's telling a story. He wants our story told. We didn't come here to start a church. Did you know that? We don't even have membership. There's not a member here. But we came to start a movement. We came to start a way to gather people together with God in the center, with sweet, loving people who focused on loving God with all their hearts and their neighbor as their self. Now, Cowboy Church is not your average church. I love it when Larry Whiteley says that on Sunday mornings. This is not your average church, but that's on purpose. That's on purpose. We didn't come here to be a normal church. We're a cowboy church. A cowboy church unapologetically. If you don't like to see saddles and skins and heads, go somewhere else. What can I tell you? I mean, there's a lot of churches around that don't have things like that. Go there. Now, let me tell you something else about Cowboy Church. It's a man church. You say, well, why are you telling us? Look at all these beautiful women around here. Yeah, thank God for you. But let me tell you what happens in a family when daddy falls in love with Jesus. Amen. When the father stands up and leads, I want to tell you something, that whole family comes in line behind Christ. And that's why this is, and has always been, and I pray always will be, a man-led church. Amen. And we couldn't do it without you girls, okay? But it is a man-led church. A church that loves hard, welcomes fully, stays true to the identity God gave us. But just remember, we're not a Walmart church. This is not one stop and you get everything. This is not a Walmart church. And one of the greatest temptations that we'll have in our future is to turn us back into a normal church. There will be a great temptation to do that. Well, a normal church has this and other churches have this. Yeah, they do. Go there. See, we want to be a unique God-designed church, and we love you. We love people when they leave, and we love them when they go. When they go or when they come. That sounded bad, didn't it? But we love people when they come. But we also love them when they go. It's okay not to like this church. It's okay not to like this preacher. You better like that one. But it's okay not to like things here. We get that. If you like horse loving, hay smelling kind of church, we thought about bringing some cow poo over here in buckets just to scatter them around. So Joshua stood on the edge of the Jordan River, ready to step over into the promised land, and we're standing at a new start today. This is a new place, ready to step into God's promises, a new barn, new season, new leaders, same God. Are you going to go with us? You going to go with us? I think you are. Will you help us write the next chapter that God is writing here? Well, do you want to be in that chapter? In the big picture God is writing, and you're going to write your part, your little chapter, right in the middle of what God is doing here. And now we stand together on the banks of this new season. Pastor Ty is going to come up now, and I talked about where we've been. He's going to talk about where we're going. Let's welcome here Pastor Ty to the stage.
I have to... I got to tuck my shirt. I ate so much brisket that I had my belt buckle undone.
That's not good.
Laying back. I wasn't ready. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, we are.
I hope so. My goodness. Look around you. Just take a second. Look around. I know that y'all been walking through here and checking things out, but I got to say, it is beautiful. And I do have to say thank you to Mike. And to Charles and to everybody in the sound system, Jeff and Chad, I know y'all been working hard for the last couple weeks, and so let's give them a big thank you for getting things together so that we could be here tonight. Now, well, I'm going to continue in Joshua chapter 1, but I want to look at verse 3. And so in chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, I promise you what I promised Moses. This is God speaking. He says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land that I have given you. Now, your Bible, if you're not reading from an NLT, it might say, everywhere your foot treads is land that I have given you. And so this is a present tense and a future tense promise. That he's given us that land. He's given the children of Israel that land at this time. And so this is a promise of territory when we look at this in this verse 3 right here. And so treading, how many of y'all know treading requires movement? Right? It means you got to move. You can't stand still. And so he is telling them, listen, this is all for you. It's a promise for you, but you've got to go and you got to possess the land. It's time for you to move in and begin to take what God has promised you and take a hold of the promise that God's given you, and that's exactly what he's telling them here. Now, for Israel, that means they're going to take the land. They're going to have a place to dwell, to live. But for us as believers, on a personal level, that means that we get to step into a victorious life in Jesus and what he's done for us because he's saved us. But as a church, that means that we move forward and we see that we're beginning to take a hold of the hearts, the families that God has blessed us with. And that doesn't mean just you here. And we have been blessed with y'all that are here. You're a blessing. But there are others that God said, you need to go get them. You got to go get them. And so for us, it's hearts, it's homes, it's families that's reached for the kingdom of God, and that's exactly what we're called to do as a church and as believers, is to go make disciples, to go reach the lost, to seek and save the lost, and that's exactly what God has called us to do as Sauk River Cowboy Church. And I do thank God that this is not like any other church anywhere, because I don't know of any other church that allows their pastor to sit on the fence at the sale barn and preach. You know, I love that. I love that we get to experience that kind of church where it's laid back, where it's okay for me to be who I am and for you to be who you are. And who you are is loved by Jesus. And I thank God for that. But we look around here in this barn, and we see our barn. And so everybody needs to know this. This is the barn. Everyone say the barn.
The barn.
You're in the barn. So the next time someone says, were you raised in a barn? You can say, no, but I go to church there. And so you're in the barn tonight. And so when we look around this barn, it's nice. The chairs are comfortable. The sound is great. Good job, y'all. It's wonderful, but this barn, it's not about comfort, all right? And it's not about the aesthetics. That's not what we're here for, but this right here, this barn, it's more than that. The movement that we make is very important, and the direction and the territory that we tread that God has promised us is very important. The moment that we get comfortable as a church, and we kind of get relaxed, we kind of get used to, oh, well, this is comfortable because this is how we've done it. The moment we do that is the moment we become ineffective in reaching the lost. Because it requires movement. It requires moving forward. It requires investing in the future of the next generation of believers who are coming up under y'all. And it's important for us to remember that. This is an opportunity to reach more people, more families, and more lost souls that need Jesus for the kingdom of God. And this is the beginning of that. And it's exciting. Are you excited? Okay, good. That's all right. Clap your hands and praise God, because I'm excited too. This is what we're going to get to do. We get to do this together as a church family. Right here in the barn and at the stockyards. We continue to grow. We continue to see God bring people in. It's an opportunity to reach people, more families for the kingdom. But not only that, it's every dad, every mom, every child, every grandparent that walks through that barn door right there is someone that gets to be influenced by the Word of God. Amen. And by the love of God and what He's done for us. And so it's our opportunity to take the next steps. It's our opportunity to reach the lost. It's our opportunity to do that. That means don't get comfortable. Poke your neighbor in the shoulder right now. Say, don't get comfortable. Don't you do it. I know that seat's comfortable. I almost fell asleep, not because of Scotty's preaching, but it was comfortable, and I've had a lot of brisket to eat tonight. But don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable, because God has big things for us. And so there's growth, and growth means that there's something happening, and that means we're spiritually alive. And I got to tell you, I have been in some churches where I thought, is there anybody still alive in this church? But I'm not talking about our church. I'm not talking about Sauk River, because every time I walk up here and get ready to preach, you're excited and you're happy to be here. I know I'm a phenomenal speaker. No. But, Chad, do you hear that? Okay. But you're excited to be here because you get to sit next to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's a time of fellowship and freedom and enjoying yourself and enjoying the love of God. Amen. But there are other people who need that, and they don't have it. And it's our opportunity to tread and to take the next step into the territory that God has promised us to reach the lost. And so we're growing. But we're growing with a purpose. We're not just growing for numbers' sake, but we're growing with purpose. And so we have to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. And if you agree that God has blessed us, say amen.
Amen.
That means we need to be good stewards of what God's blessed us with. That means who will teach. Who's going to lead? Who's going to pray with people? Who's going to serve? And to be a good steward of what God's blessed us with means that we have to continue to grow and not just look at what we can do today, but also the future, tomorrow. Right. Investing in the next generation of young believers that are coming up, so that we can look out here when I'm Scotty's age, right? It's just a couple years away. I can look out and I can see young faces like those two kiddos sitting right here behind my father-in-law. But as adults, loving Jesus and seeking God because they were taught and they were invested in. And so when we talk about this and we talk about that growth, it comes with responsibility. You have a responsibility, believers. You have a responsibility because that means there's more families. It means there's more children. That means there's more needs, which equals more ministry. More ministry. And so when we look to the future as we pray, part of the vision that as we pray about how to best serve our church family, part of that vision is this, is that we have to think of expanding, and we're praying about expanding our staff because we need some help. We need that help. And I want to take just a second when we're talking about our future and we're talking about the future generations. There's a lady here who has laid a foundation and planted seeds. I'm going to get emotional. Hang on. And done a fabulous job with our children. And so I want to say thank you to Tammy for what she's done, Tammy Green. She works tirelessly. We've had several conversations now over the past few days talking about this. And I told her, I said, I want to share some of my vision with the church tonight. And so I want you to know what I'm going to talk about. But she needs the help. She's working hard. Have you ever heard someone say that you can't ride two horses with one bottom? It's tough to do. When she's bouncing back and forth, making sure she's got everything going for the children. And so we're talking and we're praying about bringing in and helping that and hiring more staff with the children and hiring, you know, someone that can come in and help us with that ministry alongside, not to replace, but to help. Not to go a new direction, but to expand. Because I'm telling you, as families come in, there's going to be more kids come in. How many of y'all are a kid person? I got about five of you. See what I'm telling you? We need the help. We need the help. Part of that vision is expanding our staff. It's also important that we remember this. There's pastoral care that needs to be taken care of. When we talk about expanding the ministry, I look out here and I feel bad every Sunday. I'm going to tell you all this. I feel bad every Sunday because I don't know everybody's name. And I can't. And if you've come to me and you said, hey, Pastor Ty, and I looked at you and I said, hey, brother. It's not that I don't. It's just that I have a hard time remembering. Me too. But as we grow and we see this, there's people that need prayer, that need visited, that need that to happen. And so part of that is to see our staff grow so that we can, when people walk through the door, they know that they are seen, that they are loved, that they're prayed for, and that they're getting spiritually fed. Amen. And so that's a part of the vision of the future. As we look forward to that, we have to prepare for that. That means being a good steward of what God has blessed us with so that we can continue to reach the lost. So that we can continue to reach the lost. Every person, like I said, who walks through that door, they need to feel seen. They need to feel supported. They need to feel spiritually fed. But not only that, I want you to look in verse 6 here. He goes on right here after he says, everywhere your foot will tread, he talks about all the territories, all the different, if we were to talk about it in terms of Sauk River Cowboy Church, all the ministries and all the things that God wants to do to see people saved. But then verse 6 happens and it says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. He says, be strong and courageous. That means that there's going to be some obstacles that we face. And as you grow and as you move forward in the ministry, there will be obstacles. There's going to be times where we're going to face some issues. When you get this many people together in one place, there is sometimes friction. And Satan loves that. And you want to know why? Because if he can stop someone from getting saved, he's had a good day. You see, we have a real enemy. And he wants to stop the word of God. He wants to stop someone. He wants to discourage someone from hearing the truth about Jesus and who he is. And so he will do whatever it takes, even if he's got to make it hard on the believers. And so he's saying, take courage. Be strong and courageous, knowing that I've got a plan for you, but there might be some obstacles. Trust in me as we move forward, as we move into that land. And so we need to trust God. Amen. And stay strong and not get comfortable. Amen. Don't get comfortable as we do that. But here's the most important thing, and Pastor Scotty, you touched on this just a little bit ago. Look in verse 7. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. If we want success in moving forward and reaching the lost and seeing people saved and being a good steward of what God has blessed us with, that means the word has to be central in our church. And so when we talk about this, the preaching remains the center of everything that we do. This word. Now, faces might change, and you're probably going to see new faces, and I look around, and I see new faces every week. And whether it's Pastor Scotty preaching, or if I'm preaching, or if we have a special guest that's preaching, or whatever that may look like, the faces may be different, but the truth is the same. The truth is the same. This right here. And so the Word of God will be preached with conviction and with compassion to those who need to hear it. It is so important that we remember that, that we remember that the Word of God is important, because we're not here to entertain. I mean, we've got a great stage now, and we've had great stages, and we've got wonderful musicians, and Chad's okay on that guitar. But It's fun, but we're not here to entertain. We're here to proclaim Jesus, that he saves, that he can change our lives. And so that will never change. The truth, Jesus, God is the same today, yesterday, forever. It doesn't matter. And so his principles and his word is true, and that won't change. We won't deviate from it. We're not going to go to the right, and we're definitely not going to go to the left. I just got political. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please don't be offended at that. But we're not going to deviate from the Word of God. It's always going to be central. It's always going to be what we base our life and our ministry on, is the Bible, is the gospel, is the truth. It will always be preached. It will always be first. It'll always be central, what God has to say to us. And that's very important. And so, it's the most important. So I want to say this. I want to say some thank yous. We have this thing that we say, and y'all have heard it before. It's amazing. We say this all the time here. It's amazing what God can do when no one gets the credit. That's true. It's very true. And so as I say these thank yous and I say some stuff tonight, I want you to know that they're probably all going to go, no, I don't want a credit, or I don't want any of that. But there are people that need to be thanked. One is the music ministry with Chad and with Jeff, and the job that y'all have done putting the sound system together. They've probably put in 40-plus hours a week the last several weeks helping, and there's others as well, not just y'all, but every time I call Chad, what are you doing? I'm putting in sound. I'm running wires for the sound system. The man has a job. But he's here because he wants to be and do that. And so I want to say thank you again to the music, to everyone, every musician, every singer, every person who leads worship, every person who is involved in that sound booth back there, everyone that does that. I appreciate your dedication and your hard work and your commitment to the ministry of the church. It's so important. Not only that, I want to say thank you for your dedication to the ministry, the children's ministry. Every helper, Tammy, every helper, everyone that works at the stockyards and works so hard and puts things together and makes sure those kids are getting taught the Word of God, every person who works here, everyone who's involved, thank you for your hard work and your commitment and your investment in the future of the church. Thank you for that. To the Gus team, amen. Thank you to the Gus team. Thank y'all, every one of you. I don't get to see all of you around here, and some of y'all are in here, some of you are not. But your commitment and your dedication and your hard work, thank you. We appreciate that. And this is a big one, especially tonight. Nadine in the kitchen and all you ladies at work. Somebody's excited about the brisket. That's good. It was delicious. And the hard work that y'all put in. Not only are you doing that on Thursday nights and Sunday mornings, but then you got this guy that says, hey, I have my brother is going to come and speak for a special men's night. You think you can throw something together? We can do that. And they're always willing and ready to do that. And so you ladies, thank you. Thank you so much. Not only that, yes, amen. Clap your hands. I'm almost done. We're almost going to be done here. But including that, it's tagged onto that. Bert, I don't know if you're here tonight, but she's the one that helps make sure that we got the schedule straight for the event center and for all that stuff that happens, and she puts work in and makes that happen. And so I want to show my appreciation to her. But not only that, the men's ministry, the band of brothers, and the work that you do and your commitment to that, and the women's ministry, the commitment to being together, and then Judy with your village. Where are you? To outreach and to feeding people that need fed. And then here's a big one. Now, Scotty had you stand up earlier. I'm not going to do this to you tonight because I don't want to point you out, just in case. I'm teasing. But our board members, thank you for what y'all do. Thank you. Because you're committed to being good stewards of what God's blessed us with. And to Charles, thank you. Charles has worked hard and put this together. Thank you, Charles, board of directors. Now, each one of those ministries, and I'll close with this and we'll be done. Each one of those ministries, each one of you have a great opportunity to expand the reach of Sauk River Cowboy Church. As we're committed to God's word and we're committed to God's mission. And the beautiful thing is that God creates the way, we just ride it. God leads us. God directs us. And we follow him in his direction. But it's an opportunity, a great opportunity, to expand our reach, to see other people get saved and their lives changed. Because that's what it's all about. And I'll tell you, my best Sunday since I've been here was 2 weeks ago. I had a gentleman walk up to me after service, and he said, and we were at the stockyards and over there on the side, and he says, "Hey, I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" And he said, "I want to be saved. How do you know when it's time for you to get saved?" I said, "It's right now." I said, "We've got you right now." I said, "We got to pray." He says, "Okay, what do we?" And so we prayed and accepted Jesus as his Savior. He's excited. He's getting baptized at the baptism service. And that's what we're here for. Amen. That's why we're here, is to see people saved and their lives changed by Jesus. And I praise God for the opportunity just to be a part of a beautiful, wonderful church family. Julie and I are blessed, and I thank God for it. And I praise God. And so, thank you to everybody for the foundation to grow and to expand our stretch and our reach for the people that are around us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and say thank you again. You're so good. You've blessed us. You've provided everything that we need more than enough, and it's abundant, and we thank you for that. And Lord, tonight, as we get ready to leave here, Lord, I pray that you'd fill our hearts with an excitement and a desire to continue to see the lost saved, and that you would guide us, and that you would give us your wisdom, and wisdom beyond our understanding, wisdom beyond our experience, but that it would be wisdom from the Holy Spirit that guides us as a group of believers. And I thank you, and I praise you for that. And I ask that you would send us more who need you. Guide them to Sauk River so that we could see them saved and we can share your word with them. And we thank you for that and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise Jesus. Y'all, give the Lord a hand clap and worship him right now. Yeah, y'all want to hear him do another song? Y'all want one more song? Chad, cut loose on something there, buddy.
Sound booth?
There you go. All right, I know you guys probably know this one. Amazing Grace. Kia D, guys. Page 2 if you need it in your hymnal. In prayer.
Father, we're truly thankful for an occasion like this, which happens maybe every 40 or so years. We don't have these nights like this very often. We don't have the kind of things to celebrate that we have tonight. And we just pray that you would light a fire under us. Keep it going. Keep it burning. And we pray that we will do our part, too. because you can light all the fires that you want to, but if the fire doesn't burn, then nothing will come of it. We pray that you be with us in all the ways that we need it, and be with those who are sick. Be with the hands that minister to them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.